spreading their message to millions. Spreading their message to millions. Kiss Talk. Talking Kiss. Kiss fans and Kiss podcast. With your host, Mike from Nashville. Tuck Watts. And special guest, it could even be you. Now here they are, your Kiss Talk crew. All right, welcome to Kiss Talk, episode number 12, and this is a really special episode because we got a lot of people in the room, and I'm calling that a special episode. So, first of all, I'm Mike, and my all-time my all-time co-host, Tuck Watts, is in the room.
That's right, I'm right here.
All
right,
and our special guest, all the way from somewhere close to Tuck, is Eddie Trotter.
Hey guys.
I'm sorry I didn't use your code there.
Rusty Duke, I think.
Rick Honcho.
And all the way from many places around the world, but currently Dayton, Ohio, Jim O'Rear.
What's up, guys?
Very cool. All right, so it's going to be a little fun today because we got some activities and we got more people to kind of throw some opinions at the podcast. So cool stuff. I think we're going to start off with just some kind of current event things, just to kind of knock those out and talk about those for a second. So, Kiss obviously done with Europe, headed back to the States now, and it was recently announced that Metallica and Kiss are among the 30 top tours of the year, which is very cool. Lots of dates that were sold out, unless you ask Ace, who thinks that there's no way they could sell out dates without him being on the tour still. And, you know, we talked about that last podcast. But, so they're headed back to the States. And one thing that is kind of a buzz around the other podcast and is noticeable when you go look for tickets at the upcoming string of shows is that they're not selling. Currently, there's a ton of tickets on a lot of shows. It's been noted on, like, the Oakland and a couple shows that it is a third or less ticket sales to this point. Now, I think that's okay. They don't start till September. But I think what happens is, you know, people get sick of buying their concert tickets a year out as it is, right? So people had vacations. They have a ton of summer expenses, things like that that come up. I think that affects ticket sales that far out. And I think probably as everybody's kind of headed back to school, and the shows are getting closer, that those tickets will sell once the events get here. You think so, Tuck?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is just a weird time for people, you know? I mean, the economy seems to be doing well, but you've got, you know, like you said, back-to-school expenses, you got people going on vacation. It's just not the time to be selling tickets.
Yep, I agree. But I think it'll catch up. I don't know if the diehards have obviously been, for the most part, unless there's a special circumstance. But I think the second string will do well. I mean, if you're asking if I think it will do as well, I'm not sure.
They're lesser markets, right? I mean, we're not talking about the big city. You're not selling tickets in St. Louis and Chicago and Philadelphia.
Well, you actually are. I mean, because St. Louis is on the next string. You got Cincinnati, St. Louis, Indianapolis. Indianapolis, a huge Kiss town, right? Little Rock. It starts in Sunrise, Florida, goes up Charlotte, Raleigh, you know,
there are some big cities.
They're still hitting some major tours or major cities. And, you know, we had discussed this before that, I mean, next year is kind of what we're counting on them hitting those secondary markets. Like, you know, we talk about Chattanooga and Knoxville and just Evansville, Indiana for us. You know, just smaller markets that are considered B-type markets, I guess, that they kind of did on the Lost Cities tour back when they did the reunion tour, right? So we'll see how it goes, and we'll see what happens next year. They wind up this year in Japan as they kind of swing through Australia and New Zealand, and they wind up in Japan, and it's right before Christmas. They kind of wind that up before they head home for Christmas. So I thought they would probably wait until first of the year to hit Japan, but they didn't. They're packing this year in. So we'll see where that goes. In other news, it looked like in the off time that Paul was kind of finishing up the Soul Station album, And I'm still not clear. Is that just going to be all Motown covers? I'm assuming it is.
I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know when he's planning on releasing something like that, given that they're supposed to be on tour all of next year. And he has said he's interested in taking that show on the road. So we'll kind of see how that goes. Then you've got, of course, Ace still out on the road, and he just canceled a Tennessee show for the middle of August that I was planning on going to. He's playing Atlanta the night before, but supposedly it was a scheduling conflict. And kind of, I don't know how that is, because he's not anywhere, and he's in Atlanta the night before. So ticket sales was good for the show. So
the one at the prison.
Yeah, Brushy Mountain State Prison. So
he found out you were going, so that's why he can't.
Probably, yeah. Probably. So, unfortunately, not going to make that trip. So,
with Ace on the bill, it was sold out, I'm sure. Multiple dates had sold out, and it was probably going to be that's probably where the problem came in. The multiple dates was going to be a scheduling conflict.
Yeah, they probably sold too many tickets, and they couldn't get
Fire marshal.
Yeah, they couldn't get people in the prison. Yeah. So, because supposedly, I've never been to that venue. It sounds like a very unusual venue, but it's actually in the stage or something's in the old prison yard. So, I would have liked to have seen that. But anyway, not going up there. They don't have any great bands scheduled that I'm interested in.
And for people that aren't from this part of the world, that's sort of between Nashville and Knoxville.
Yeah, it is not near a big city, technically. I mean, it's an hour outside of Knoxville and an hour and a half outside of Nashville. So it's really out in the middle of nowhere. My son goes out there in four wheels in their buggies.
That's Brushy Mountain
State Prison, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and of course, Ace still keeping his solo record in the news. His
covers album.
Volume 2, yeah, which, you know, I mean, we've talked about covers before. Those are albums that I listen to once and don't ever go back to again. But Ace is famous for doing covers and obviously made some big hits out of them with New York Groove. And not that 2000 Man was a big hit, but it was certainly an improvement on the Stones version. And they play it live, or he plays it live anyway. So, but any other news that are we leaving out anything there?
Rockin' Pod's coming up August 9th, 10th.
Now, is Ace going to be at this?
A former member of Kiss may be in the neighborhood.
You mean Gary,
but it will not
Gary
be
Corbin?
Ace. Yeah, Gary Corbin's going to be right at Rockin' Pod.
Yeah.
Looking forward to talking to him again. He was at the first Rockin' Pod.
That's right. And if you don't know the connection, Gary Corbett was the hidden keyboardist on the Hot in the Shade tour. So he was the one that actually made the sounds for Leon when he opened his mouth, right?
There was there's a bootleg video where, maybe in Tales from the Fox, maybe it isn't a bootleg, where Gary's playing basketball backstage and Eric goes out and sort of screws around with him a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's stories to that. So, Nashville Rockin' Pod's coming up August 10th, and, you know, we're going to be there. And, yeah, everybody, Tuck will be there, so it won't just be me. So don't come up to me and ask me if Tuck's going to be there, because he will be. But in any case, check out the Nashville Rockin' Pod site. It's going to be at the Nashville Marriott Hotel. It's very cool. Nashville Airport Marriott. Very nice venue. Very nice list of guests this year, including myself and Michael Sweet and Tuck Watts and that guy from Megadeth. So that ought to get you to come out right there, right?
Yeah. And maybe some other people that's not been announced. Some great prize. They're doing some raffles, right?
Yeah.
That was announced last night.
Yeah, sure. There's going to be some guitars that get raffled off and Michael Sweet merchandise. Go check it out, man. It's going to be a good time for all. Always is. Third year, bigger than ever. And very cool if you're into podcasting and into meeting rock stars in a very casual setting. So, pretty cool.
And who isn't?
I agree.
So, let's talk to these two.
Let's do that. So, our guest in the house, obviously, we've talked about. And we kind of have a topic or a game, I guess, right? Is that what we're going to call it?
I think it's a game.
Okay. So not that this hasn't been done before necessarily, but I've always wanted to participate in it. And, of course, we know that the Kiss solo albums came out in 1978, which were the albums that came after Love Gun and before Dynasty. And so, which, you know, most people say dynasty was the turn where they started kind of following trends. But let's say that instead of the solo albums, they collectively got together and were all talking to each other in a good manner, and Peter's not trying to get out of the band, and everybody was happy, and they said, guys, let's make the best record we've ever made. You know, bring your A game. Because we know we got, you know, about 40 songs here that the four members wrote for these albums that were released, none of which were super selling albums. I mean, Aces, I guess, was what we call the most successful. Although from a sales standpoint, I don't think it was. But
I think those numbers were all inflated.
Yeah. Well, they all shipped 1 million and returned 800,000. Right? So, but in any case, so what we're thinking is, you know, what if they collectively released an album that would have been made up of those songs? So, and I did not include anything outside of those four albums. Like, I didn't go back and try to include Rocket Ride off, you know, the fourth side of Kiss Alive 2 or anything like that. Although that should have been on the next Kiss album. But anyway, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to kind of handle it. We're kind of go round with three of us here, right? And Eddie's going to kind of moderate this a little bit, I guess.
Eddie's a Van Halen fan.
And Dokken.
And I say that because I've got the on the logo. I've got the Van Halen logo on my on the Classic Rock Drops logo.
That's true. You do.
You had the Kiss logo.
I did.
And you said, which logo do you want? And I said, the Van Halen logo. And I said, but not the Van Hagar logo. No. Not the round, goofy, no, right. The classic. Right.
The real Van Halen logo.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Even though you like Sammy Hagar.
And that's why I gave him the cassette tape, and I had the vinyl album in my hand on the Classic Rock Drops logo. Yeah. I'll go on record saying, Let's Put the X in Sex is a great song. I will go on record saying that off Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits, the biggest selling album of the 1980s. Probably because of that song. It wasn't because Eric Carr sung Beth.
Is this where we insert the awkward silence?
Yes.
All right, so let's get back to this. So we're picking songs from the solo albums, and we're going to make our own records. That's made up of songs from the solo album. And we've got to put them in some sort of order that they would fall on the record. Right, so we're going to talk about the opening song, the second song, third song, fourth song.
Right because we're thinking about it as if it was a vinyl release, so it has a opening track on side one, a last track on side one, an opening track on side
two. See, I did mine as an 8-track.
So where does it fade?
Yeah, so it fades in the middle of one song, and then there's a reprise.
Yeah.
It's between track 2 and 3. So I'm
perfect.
Sorry. I did this wrong. I'm sorry, I can redo this.
Okay. Does yours come with a free... book of matches so that you can get it to fit into the player correctly as you drive down the road.
A stack of quarters or something.
Obviously, we're very old, but that's okay.
See, I got the solo records on reel-to-reel tapes. That's when, for my hi-fi living room entertainment center.
Nothing but perfect. The best from JCPenney for you.
It weighed more than the refrigerator did. Full, the refrigerator with food in it. Sorry. All right, so Ed's going to lead this, Ed Trotter. Or, wait.
What was your name?
Joe Honcho. What was it?
Mike Honcho. Rick Honcho. Sticky Wicket.
All right, so he's going to moderate this, and he's going to go over this with us, and you're going to keep us on track.
So you can start somehow. You can start with whoever's first and whoever's last.
Okay, so let's do track number one.
Okay.
On the A side, we'll start with Jim.
I had to put myself into 1978 in order to pick these out, because that would be the context of what you're making these. What's on TV at the time? What are, as you had mentioned, the follow-on album is when they're starting to follow trends. So what is going on in pop culture at that time? So I honestly picked I picked Radioactive as your intro, because that whole orchestral, special effects laden intro into that gets you going, and then he just hits you with that junk, 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 junk.
Well, hold on. Paul Stanley's calling, and he wants you off the show. Because does Paul let an album open with a Gene song? But that's a very interesting take on that. So, because it was, you know, one of the actual single releases off of Gene's solo album.
And one of the songs they played live.
That's right. All right.
So we've got Jim. So, Mike, what would you have?
All right. I stuck with what I consider the KISS formula to a certain degree. And yes, Paul Stanley has the opening track on the album because we want to punch people in the face with an opening track, and it's all right. So
interesting.
Awkward silence.
I'll go on record and say It's All Right is not even on my record.
Wow.
Your record won't sell.
Not only will my record sell, your wife will buy 3 copies. And then she'll get the purple limited edition vinyl and hang it on the wall. No. I opened with a Paul song, too. I opened with Tonight You Belong to Me. I just think that's a great opening track.
Fantastic, and it was on my list, but because of the slow opening, it didn't punch me in the face, so it comes later. So
I just think it's a great opening song. So.
It is, there, no doubt. That would have been, if it hadn't had the soft opening, it would have been there. So.
All right.
Cool.
Okay. So we feel pretty comfortable with our selections for the first track. Now are we gonna vote? Are we gonna take a vote on?
I tell you what we could do. We could, when once you're done, we'll put them on Facebook and people can vote on which one they think is the best one.
I think it's a great idea. That's great.
That'd be good. All right, so.
Because I don't want to do Indian leg wrestling again.
So let's go to track 2 with Jim.
Track 2, I went with Wouldn't You Like to Know Me. That's what I went with.
I'm not going to argue with that not being a good song. Sounds like a cell phone issue. Anyway. But yeah, I think that's a good choice. Did not wind up in my list, but...
At all? Wow.
So,
really?
Yeah, but it would have been an option. It was on the I Gotta Leave Something Out list.
We could still be friends, though, right?
Jim's going...
Absolutely, I love
who
it.
Who are you?
I love the song.
Yeah.
So, I continue my onslaught of punch you in the face with my second song. And that's Speeding Back to My Baby. So those back-to-back tracks to me tell me that KISS is still a rock and roll band. So,
is that part of the KISS formula, having an ace song as the second one?
It can be.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you...
I'm trying to sound smart. That's all I got.
That's okay.
He's going with the whole punch you in the face kind of stuff.
Because you think, I mean, KISS, I mean, they're coming out of... I mean, Rock and Roll Over and Love Gun. I mean, those are strong rock and roll albums. Right. They were.
Yeah.
Well, and also by this, if this album follows Love Gun or Alive 2 or Double Platinum or whatever, by that time Ace wasn't doing a lot of singing.
Right.
It wasn't until after this solo record that he actually did a lot. So.
That's correct. I mean, he did his best work when basically he had to go do it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like, okay, guys, we're doing a solo album, so Ace was like, well, I guess I better go. Do the best
step
I can.
Up, yeah.
And I mean, and truthfully, he did. I mean, these songs are great on that album. So, All right,
Tuck.
I go with my second song's New York Groove. I put that 2
nice.
Right after Tonight You Belong to Me because I think that gives you 2 great songs from arguably the 2 best solo albums. And I obviously, probably the best selling of the, I mean, of all those songs, New York Groove's the one that still gets played.
Right. And I agree with you on the concept of your opening it with the best stuff, right? So
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right.
So, back to Jim.
Song 3. Rip It Out.
Good. Yeah. Can't argue with that. You're keeping it, I mean, your album's kind of building, right? So, my number 3 was New York Groove. So, mine's Paul Ace Ace, but yeah, and you got to put New York Groove in there,
yeah.
Even though it's a cover song and whatever you believe, but it stuck, right? Yeah. It's still played today, every New Year's Eve.
And am I may not... They went for a couple albums where they released the third song. Mm-hmm. I think Lick It Up was the third song on Lick It Up. I think Heaven's on Fire was the third song.
Wow, that's very impressive Tears Are Falling. You note that.
Tears Are Falling may be the third song. Sure, I'd have to pull up the information. Mm-hmm. My third song, Get a Gene Song In, True Confessions.
Wow. That's...
Color me surprised.
Yeah. I have to admit, I am surprised. So, I mean, because Gene's got a variety of stuff. And he that's Gene, right? I mean, we know from even Asshole 30 years later, however it was, I mean... He puts all kinds of crap on an album.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy we didn't invite to be part of this. I'm sorry. I was thinking.
All right.
All right, so we're back to Jim on song number four.
Number four, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tonight You Belong to Me. Because I thought after those first three songs, you kind of need a breather, but not much.
It fits, though. I mean, it kind of backs down with that soft beginning and then kicks it, so I get it. That would work for me. So this is where I plugged in number four with Radioactive. So
you don't think that's Gene's, weird having that intro lead in?
It doesn't have the intro. I dropped the intro. Hmm.
I didn't know we could do that.
So
all right, we're starting over, guys.
We're producing also, right?
Yeah. So because it is not a single, it's not going to be a single off this album.
I was under the impression we couldn't do remixes. But
I edited. I didn't remix. So
all right, it's a clearer codification for the next episode.
Yeah, we're making this up as we go, people. All right, I think. For breakfast, Mike had hash browns and French fries and potato chips and an order of mashed potatoes. Yes. I think he's in a potato coma.
I believe they call that the God Bless Idaho platter.
We ate it. Starch is us.
Has the little backwards R. All right. My fourth song, and I did. This was one of the things that I didn't like when I was doing this because it ended up being a Paul, Ace, Gene, and I put Hooked on Rock and Roll fourth.
I can understand that. So you're not at the end of side A yet.
No. On my side A, I have six songs, and then on side two, I'm gonna have
six and six.
Side A and side two. Mm-hmm. Wait. Yeah. Should be side A and side B.
It's one and B.
Number B.
Like I said earlier, there's three kinds of people in the world. Yeah. Those who can count and those who can't.
All right, so your number five was...
No, four is Hooked on Rock and Roll.
Four, okay.
All right.
So you went. So yeah, you've covered all the members of the band?
Yeah,
the
first four. Everybody's got a song on the first side.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Well, me too, but I just didn't quite go that far. But anyway.
All right.
Makes sense.
I didn't like the fact that it worked out that way, but when I looked at the songs that I'd picked for this, it fit.
So and that did not make my album, and to me that's one of those songs that everybody in the fan base seems to love except me. It's just not my song. And I think you mentioned the reason you love that is because of the line in the song.
Yeah, I was vaccinated with a Victrola needle.
Yeah, it's a very cool line.
That's lyrical genius.
Yeah.
I think there's a lyric in a David Lee Roth song similar to that. I was on a Little Ain't Enough record. We'll come back to that. You're supposed to be the Van Halen expert over here, people.
There's no expert here.
Whatever. Rusty Mustache, whatever your name is.
It's my conscience.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
All right, so we're back to Jim on song number five.
Ooh, this one is, I wanted to put this somewhere, and I didn't know where that somewhere was, and this is where that somewhere ended up being. See You Tonight.
Outstanding choice.
I like it.
You're riding with the diversity of Gene, and I think that's cool.
And that's such a plus and a minus, because on that Gene solo album, you're... 15 seconds into the next track and you're like, whoa, I did not see that.
So
But he did that on Kiss Record. I mean, Going Blind was a left turn. Great Expectations. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally agree. Yeah. And that's the way that I tried to think about this, looking at this, because Gene's songs seem to be the ones that took the left turns, right? Great Expectations, or, you know, yeah, Going Blind. He did it all the time. And that's exactly what I was thinking, was Great Expectations on my number five, because you're probably not going to believe it, because I feel like the whole album here starts taking a left turn. I did Man of a Thousand Faces, because that was the Great Expectations of this album.
Okay.
So, because I love that song, and I thought, you know, that fits as the Great Expectations of this album. So that's number five on side one, and I have six songs. So,
all right. My number five is Speeding Back to My Baby.
Can't miss with that, man.
I just felt like Ace closing out. Well, I've got one more song, but you needed a cool Ace song there at the end, and that was the one I threw in there.
Okay.
So I've still got one more song on side
me too.
One as well.
Yeah.
And my last song on that side is Hooked on Rock and Roll, because on the last podcast, you guys were talking about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I almost couldn't remember it.
Yeah.
And so I went back, and on another tab, while I'm listening to the podcast, I'm listening to that song, and I'm like, okay. And then later on in the day, I went back and listened to it again. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I kind of get that. You know, something that's, you know, was lost, you know, for since 1979 or so in my music library. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's all right.
It's all right. All right. So my number six on side one, last track. And where else do Peter Criss songs normally fall? But this song that I put on here, when you listen to it, it really has the perfect 1970-something flavor. And it's You Matter to Me. And because most songs that Peter really wanted on Kiss albums were Peter songs,
yeah,
right?
That's true. Yeah.
So I really felt like that fit. Now, I'll tell you that I gave Peter two songs on this album because there's 12 songs. Because normally Peter got no more than one song on an album.
Right.
Because he couldn't bring more than that to the table. But my thinking on this was, all right, we got 44 minutes. My album's 41 minutes long. Everybody was told, go away, bring back the best A game you can bring on this. So Paul
apparently
says,
I was the only one that did that. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know my mic was still on. My bad. Turn this off.
But anyway, so Paul said, okay, we can do this. We're going to let Peter have two songs on this album, because at this time, Peter was not happy, right? Peter was trying to get out of the band. So I think it worked out to have Peter on here twice. So
in reality, the next record, Dynasty, he does have the last song on first side, which is Dirty Livin'.
Which was the only song he played on the album, and then he was gone.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I wrap up side one with Wouldn't You Like to Know Me? I just felt like that was a good close to side one.
It was. Yeah. I'm not going to argue with it. Again, didn't make my album, but everything couldn't, so.
That's right. And we also kept ours to 22 minutes aside.
Right.
So that's how this, I don't know if we mentioned that earlier.
Well, winding up the A side, side one, I think you all three have very strong, I buy them, you know, I like them.
Well, that's five copies I've sold.
I want the purple one.
Yeah, too bad you shipped a million copies.
All right, so let's flip over to side two. And Jim, what's your first?
Side two, Love and Chains is what I started out with.
That's a great call. It's a bombastic kickoff. So I get why you did that.
That meets your punch.
It does, but side two, you have leeway on.
Okay.
Yep. And so my side two opener was Tonight You Belong to Me. I allowed the soft intro and then the kick.
Yep.
So,
well, because it's different than today, because when you had an album, you listened to that first side, and then you kind of took a break because you had the physical act of having to take that record off and flip it over and put it back on and put the needle onto it and get the couple of scratches into it. And then
it's, you know, it's very different than today. I mean, when you go click on an album on iTunes or whatever media you use, you can tell the success of somebody's album when, you know, because they'll star like the highlighted tracks that most people listen to, right? And if you've got one where song 1 and 4 and 8 are all starred, you know that that's a good album that people made it through, but yet it still has favorite tracks. The ones that I've noticed that have 1, 2, and 3 starred are where people listened to the album and got disinterested by song 3 and left. So if in my opinion nowadays, if you don't hit it with the opening track, you're probably going to lose momentum,
right?
And it's not going to be a success.
Well, and on Amazon they put like download status with the bars on the side of it, and you'll see an entire album and there's only one song that has a bunch of bars on it.
Yep.
But in many cases, you scroll down through there, and they're fantastic songs.
They can be,
I try really not to even look at that if I discover new music.
Because, I listen to everything.
Right, but you will still... My kids will listen to the first 4 or 5 seconds of the song, and then they're gone. And you didn't have that with an album.
Right.
No.
It's true.
Well, and also, we talked about this when we were kids. Like, when the solo albums came out, you know, we were 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, and you mowed the grass, you took out the garbage for a month, and you got $10, and you went and bought a record, and you were going to spend time with that record.
Yeah, because you'd blown your bank on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you worked your butt off to get, you know, you cleaned out the garage, you mowed the grass, you did whatever you had to do to get the $10 to go to Kmart or where Hills or wherever to buy the album.
Hills.
All right, so my first song on side two is Radioactive. I just felt like that was a good lead-in to side two.
With the intro.
With the intro. I did not take the Ted Templeman route and edit off the intro or what. I don't know. I just thought it was a producer.
I like
good
it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
So back to Jim. Song two.
That's a good question, because my phone went to sleep.
Uh-oh.
Song two, and the print's really small, too. I did New York Groove in number two.
Okay. It's got to be on there somewhere.
Yeah, it has to be.
So I think that works. Number two, side two, See You Tonight. I think it belonged on there. It was, and to me, it's strong. It's a strong song.
Yeah.
So.
My song two is Move On.
Can't argue with it. Didn't make my list, but I get it. I mean,
there's
so many good songs, it's you can't put them all on here.
Like you were saying with Peter was going to fight for his songs, I think Move On is a Paul song, and he would have fought for that song.
Right, obviously it's the one they played live. It was not the single release, because Hold Me, Touch Me was the single release. That's what I told Tuck last week.
Sorry.
So,
Beat Me, Drown Me.
Yeah. Because, I didn't think Paul sounded good on Hold Me, Touch Me. Sounded nasally on it, but a lot of people argue the fact that it was a great song, and wasn't for me, so. But yep, I think Move On's a good choice.
Okay, so number three, Jim.
Number three is Man of 1,000 Faces.
Nice.
Love that song.
I thought I'd be the only person that put it on there, but I'm thrilled that you put it on there.
No, it's the. I mean, I got it when I heard it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a horror freak.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very cool.
I left. A Man of 1,000 Faces was one of my songs. That was the last cut. So
I get it. My number three is 11 Chains. I don't think you can leave that one off. So
well, I did.
Well, you put Move on there in place of it.
So my third is Rip It Out.
Again.
Yep.
Yeah.
It seems like Ace always had a cool song towards the end of the record, and so we're midway through side two, and. So we're going to throw that on there.
All right.
So to number four.
Oddly enough, It's All Right is where I put that one.
That's, I mean, they fall in the mix.
Good place for it.
Yeah. Mine is Rip It Out. So I just put mine right behind Love in Chains. So.
All right. Yeah. I got Burning Up with Fever is my number four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get it. Stretching the Gene.
My Gene songs, and that's the last Gene song on here, I had Radioactive, Burning Up with Fever, True Confessions as the three Gene songs.
So the only ones we had in common there were Radioactive, and you and I had See You Tonight and Man of a Thousand Faces.
Yep.
And maybe we don't know yet.
Maybe.
All right. So,
we're at number five?
Yeah.
Yeah, number five side two.
Number five, Rock Me Baby off of Peter's.
Wow, interesting choice. But you gave Peter two songs.
Well, again, 12 songs.
Yeah.
If it had been 10 or 11, probably
I agree.
Not.
Yeah,
Probably not. With the advent of math,
yeah,
I was able to work it in there. And juggling, well, and you wonder at what point when they're doing an album like that, how many times does it come down to that?
Yeah, and the benefit of, some of these songs is at least one of them was under 2 minutes long, and a couple of them are 3 minutes,
yeah,
right at
see
three.
See Tonight's two and a half minutes,
yeah.
2:28.
Yeah, so that helped. So my number five is my second Peter Criss song, and a song that I absolutely love is I Can't Stop the Rain. And this was the song that Peter said, I'm quitting the band if this doesn't go on there. Because you know he was famous for doing that, right?
Right.
Drama. So this was his moment where he goes, no, this is my Beth on this album. Hmm. So Where You Matter to Me was kind of more of his Hooligan, Baby Driver.
Right.
Yeah. So I Can't Stop the Rain, Peter Criss.
All right. It was on my list. I didn't put it. So my last song, wrapping up side two, Goodbye.
Makes sense.
I mean, it says Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
So, was that?
That was number five.
That was number five.
That's my last song. So, I only had 11.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
So, we've got a six for Jim and Mike.
Yep.
So.
I closed it out with Snowblind.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
I like Snowblind.
Yeah.
It's fun to play.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait. Isn't that a Styx song?
Well, it is.
Not that version. Not that one. Okay.
That's the one.
I was like, I didn't give JY any songs on mine.
Well, I closed the album with what I think is the closer and would have been something that made the live set. And that would have been Goodbye. Because on all Paul solo shows, he played Goodbye as the last song. And I think Kiss would have used that. They would be playing it today on the End of the Road tour, I think.
That'd be nice to see.
Yeah. I think that would definitely be maybe right before, Rock and Roll All Night or something of that nature. So, but yeah, I like my album. But having the choice of having all four versus having this album, I'll take all four albums. I'm glad they did solo albums.
Yeah. Right.
Because we
had the posters on the walls.
Absolutely. I mean, those four faces. I mean, if that was the album cover, it would have been a cool album cover. I think anytime they had the four makeup faces on the album cover, it was a fantastic album cover.
Right. Well, it's such a strong graphic.
Unlike The Elder or, something like that. But in any case, I like my album, but I'm glad they did solo albums because think about the songs that are not on here that you love. And you guys included some of those songs in your set, on your album.
Right.
Well,
for a majority of it, it wasn't what's the better song. We're kind of jockeying for what's the better position.
Yeah.
For that song.
Right.
Does this flow with the song before it and the song after it better?
Yep.
That makes it
more enjoyable
to listen to.
And we're doing this under the guise of what's best for Kiss, whereas the solo albums were done from a perspective of let's stretch our wings individually and see what we can maybe get away with in some sense, but what direction we can go as individuals and spread our wings a little bit. Because I've always hated when, and you know, you guys can chime in on this. Like, when a Bruce Dickinson leaves Iron Maiden and goes and makes music that sounds like Iron Maiden music, you've got the opportunity to go do something different.
Right.
Go
right.
do that.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's fine to do some, you know, some stuff that may, because obviously he was a huge part of what they sounded like, but, you know, this is your opportunity to go do something a little different. Why did you leave if you're just going to do the same thing?
Right. Yeah, you can leave and go do Somewhere Over the Rainbow instead of doing something that's...
Yeah. Like Gene...
What the heck is that?
Gene doing When You Wish Upon a Star. There's no way When You Wish Upon a Star is going to be on, and Mike is opening up the Kiss cereal. It's called The Demon... Kiss the Demon. Tasty.
Is that the Funko cereal?
What's it say? Tasty Treat?
Yep.
Tasty Treat.
Fun to eat.
I got your Tasty Treat. Fun to eat.
Now, to me, this looks like a red booberry. To me.
He said boob.
I said booberry. Ugh.
You know, you got to find the level of the room.
Yeah, we're doing this without, obviously my mic's not near me at the moment, but we're doing this without milk.
I'm going to eat this without milk, which is not the way you should eat cereal.
Jeez Louise, thank God I got a cup of coffee here. I'm sure that's going to sound great in the headphones.
It's exactly right.
I'm going to see if Mike can make more noise. Got a solo cup here of Demon cereal.
So yeah, so we're if you listen to Podcast Rock City, they actually beat me to this tasting the cereal on their podcast last week.
Smells lovely.
And Sonny Pooney, his theory was that you have to let any cereal you eat sit in the milk for 10 minutes. He said all cereal was better mushy. And I'm like, to me, that's like cold oatmeal, right? That's yeah. So Sonny, no, you're absolutely wrong. Joe and Jody, you guys were right. That's you don't eat cereal that way. And if you watch Gene Simmons and Nick Simmons taste this cereal, one thing that was mentioned was, oh, it's crunchy. Yeah, because that's what it's meant to be. It's crunchy.
Yeah, but they had like some sort of oat milk or something.
Yeah, because Shannon made them drink fake milk or something. I don't know.
So we're going to have a raffle coming up. Stay tuned for that to raise money to get a psychologist for Sonny.
Sounds fair. All right, so you guys are crunching on it now, right?
Have you ever had it before, Mike?
No.
Tasted this before either. No, I don't think ever had it, and Eddie's never had it.
Right. So it's a deep red cereal. I think you've heard that, and maybe it's supposed to turn the milk red.
Is it oat? What are the ingredients here?
All right, I'm tasting it.
It's definitely cereal. Mm-hmm.
It is corn flour, cane sugar, and a bunch of stuff that we probably shouldn't be eating, like red number 40.
It tastes like a breakfast cereal.
It definitely does not have the taste of red dye number 5, which has got something going for it.
Right. I always preferred red dye 4.
Well, I think it has a stronger finish. It doesn't come on so strong.
A little fruitier.
Multigrain cereal, as it states on the box. Mm.
So this tastes like any number of child cereals that I remember from my youth.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like Lucky Charms, but it's like a whatever fruit-flavored cereal you've had, right? Fruit Loops, yeah.
Maybe.
It's a very efficient carb delivery system.
I know what the podcast Rock City mentioned. Well as this is selling, do they come out with the other four flavors? Are there three flavors?
And what are the other
because
three
Kiss fans like me buy everything.
Right. Is this what fours? Yes. It's a brilliant marketing scheme.
Yeah. Well, I know some of you might relate to this, but I always rate cereal on the Captain Crunch scale of how badly it tears up the roof of your mouth. And I will say that this cereal is rather light on the scale. No, I think it's light on the scale.
Yeah, I think so too.
I've not scabbed up hardly anything.
I know what you mean though, Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
Captain Crunch can really do some damage to your mouth. And it's
a pretty firm cereal though. I mean, and I think it's not as soft as Fruit Loops.
No.
I think Nick compared it to Crunch Berries, which I think is an adequate.
I would agree.
I mean, it's not one of those cereals like I'd eat every morning for breakfast.
I'm just, no, I'm just, I'm glad that we got the opportunity in this day and age to sit around and try to quantify a breakfast cereal.
Pass me that money bag soda over there.
So
put out my cheeks.
So let's talk about this cereal. So retail, this is a $12.99 box of cereal. Okay.
$12?
But
$4 in my cup.
It's exclusive at FYE, and so you buy one, get one free. So you're paying basically six bucks a box. Now,
Does Purina have a knockoff version that comes in the little bag that weighs 8 pounds, yeah, costs $2? Because that's the one I'm getting.
So this is obviously not available outside the United States as far as I can tell. And I see these boxes selling on eBay for 40, 50, 60 bucks.
Get out of town.
So
I notice on the back there is a maze.
Yeah, so I did notice that it's absolutely irrelevant to the theme of the cereal.
What the tie-in is.
Well, no, it's the rock and roll over.
You kind of see the flame on the outside, but the other thing is the maze is painted in black. And if you're a normal kid, all you have is a pencil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't even get that.
So
your dog smelled crushed berries. Yeah.
So let me get the Gene Simmons figure out of it because you get a mini Funko.
Oh,
there he is.
And I see that's why you'd probably buy the box.
Okay, so now it's worth the $6. All right. So it says on here, remember what it was like to sit in front of the TV on Saturday morning, watch cartoons while eating your favorite cereal?
You know, that's an all right figure.
Well, Funko does, so we're bringing back Saturday morning to kids of all ages with our new sugar-toasted Funkos. And remember, always have fun.
Take it out of the package, Jim.
That's what Freddy Funko says.
Stand by.
Now,
170 milligrams of sodium per serving.
I bought six boxes. One's over there with my untouched Walmart display of M&Ms that I think, for some reason, some of them went missing the last 12 hours. But, so I have one box to keep. And then the reason I actually bought six boxes is because when the guy that I sent to pick them up for me 3 hours away got there, he says they got six boxes left, and I just said, "Oh, we can just buy all six," because I didn't know how rare they were going to be. So
in a box like this, it says there's seven servings per container.
100 calories per serving.
Let's see, calories. Yeah, 100 calories per serving. Yeah, 3/4 of a cup.
That figure is done well.
I really do like the little Funko guy.
I do.
I wonder does it mirror the brand new Funko that's on the bottom there, Jim? Is it the exact replica?
Which one?
Let's
see.
We are sitting in...
It looks extremely close.
A room of KISS memorabilia right now, by the way.
That boggles the mind.
Wow.
It's crazy how much KISS stuff there is.
I like my little...
See, we were going to do this at Ed's house in the room full of Bay City Rollers memorabilia. However...
Death by plaid.
It all got stolen.
I just want to say that sleeping with the Gene Simmons boots on was a bucket list moment of mine last night.
Perfect. All right, so our review of the cereal basically is a thumbs up by all four of us as a kid-oriented time cereal. I think it passes.
I would have bought the snot out of that if I was 10 years old.
I don't know that I would pay $6 for a...
I mean, obviously, it's a collectible.
Right.
Sure. And they know their audience. Now, Funko, if you don't know the history, Funko makes hundreds of different boxes from Power Rangers to, I mean, they pick a character, they put it on the box, and they sell these boxes of cereal in this price range. So, anyway. But
see, if Sonny were doing this, it would sound like...
Oh, yeah, it'd be all mushy and goopy. No.
Sorry, Sonny.
That's why, on the rare occasions when I have cereal, I'm pounding it down because I don't want squishy.
If you've given it time to change the milk to Gene Simmons red, it's probably not good anymore.
Yeah.
Not thought. Anyway. All right.
Well.
So we have delivered an album today to the record company that is outstanding.
Some of us did, yes.
They're going to reject Tuck's first. And then it'll be between mine and Jim's. So we'll have to see what happens.
This is a good cereal, though. It's
good.
Yeah.
It's got a good bouquet.
Yeah.
There's a whole bag of it there, so you just go to town, buddy.
I will say, out of the three albums, that I'm leaning towards Jim's just because it has Snowblind on
just
it.
Just because you're right. We should put this on a Facebook poll.
So you like songs about cocaine?
Well, you know.
It's Ace.
That's all I had. That's the only thing I could say when it's like, yeah. Yeah. So what's the problem with a song about cocaine? Eric Clapton just bluntly said cocaine.
Thank you very much.
We played it at elementary school.
Yes, we did. Battlefield Elementary.
Was that with the paid crowd? Or was that the junior high where...
Worse. Worse.
The PTA.
All right. Fun episode. Appreciate everybody listening. We will post those on the Facebook page. Tuck will, because he's my media specialist.
We should have these guys back.
I just made that up.
Yeah, put that on the business card when you write my name.
My new title.
We should have these guys back.
I delegated something to Tuck.
We may even come back.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. And don't forget to go check out the Facebook page and make sure that you like my version of the 1970. This would be a 79 album, right? 1970.
They came right up the end of 78.
Yeah, you're right. 78 album. As long as you pick mine, I'm thrilled that you listen to our show.
And look, pick Mike's. If you're fine with being wrong, you can pick Mike's. That's fine.
We use the term first loser.
There's all kinds of wrong in this room right now, and I'm going to correct it. You guys have a great week. Thanks.
Bye.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Kiss Talk is an Into Rock podcast production.